Chapter 27. I made it about 30 feet into the brush before I realized my clothes were really not going to cut it here, especially since night seemed like it was going to fall far sooner than I'd originally expected. Judging by the way the sunlight filtered through the trees, I had, at best, an hour until sundown. And while I felt reasonably sure I could walk the 10 or so miles in a few hours, the path was a lot less, well, pathy than I'd expected. Even with the soldiers clearing a path and the scouts directing us where to go, I was already finding myself having to use one of the hobgoblin's axes to bushwhack my way through more of it than I'd have liked, since it was clearly made and used by the much shorter hobgoblins. And that left me with a problem. What would I do once night fell? Would I keep walking or hunker down for the night? While it wasn't particularly cold yet, I wasn't sure what it would be like once night fell. For all I knew, the temperature would drop to freezing. Now, that seemed unlikely because it wasn't particularly cold now, but I was in an alien world. Even if the temperature was hospitable, that didn't mean there wouldn't be predators that could put the hobgoblins to shame. "So maybe I need shelter?" I said aloud. And when the forest didn't respond, I sighed. "Or maybe get some new clothes." Still, it wasn't like I had a way to get clothes, especially since I didn't see any erstwhile tailors hanging out in the twisted brush along the path.
"I could attempt to fashion you some, Master," Queenie said, as we moved steadily along.
Like me, she was bushwhacking her way through, only she was opting to use the claws at the tips of her fingers, which was probably better, because despite being made of the finest hobgoblin steel, the axe I used was pretty crappy. "It will be fine once we reach the town," I said, as I hacked down a particularly annoying branch and stepped past it. "We'll no doubt have enough gold to buy whatever we need."
"It is too bad you cannot create clothing with the same power you use to infuse your aura into your attacks,"
Queenie said as she glanced at me. And I'll be honest, the moment I said the words, I felt like an idiot. Why? Because I could practically hear my old strategist's voice in my head telling me to just do it and see if it worked. I looked down at my body and thought about clothes. I pictured the pair of waterproof hiking pants I'd used when I'd summited Everest, and as I did, aura began to flow out of my body and seep into the track pants I was wearing. It moved in an undulating wave as it began to take shape around me so that a few moments later, I was wearing a layer of greenish, translucent pants over my clothes.
"You have learned the sub-skill, Auric Armor."
I stared at the message before reading a bit more and found out that I had unlocked a sub-skill of aura infusion that let me infuse my garments with aura to increase their defense, fortitude, and other attributes, which was pretty cool, if I said so myself. And better still, it didn't take me much energy to maintain it. Once my pants had been crafted, my aura's own inertia seemed to maintain the new form, and it would automatically refresh every 30 minutes as long as I had the aura to maintain the upkeep cost. That was good, because if I got into another fight, I didn't want to end up defenseless if I forgot to concentrate on my own clothing.
"Your new pants look very powerful, Master," Queenie said,
as I began to craft myself an entire ensemble from my own aura. And as I did, I found that each piece of clothing came easier than the last one. The pants hadn't been that difficult, but it had definitely taken some time. My boots, though, they were even easier, and my shirt easier than that, so that by the time I was doing my sweet pauldrons, it took almost no effort whatsoever. I smiled as I looked down at myself clad in what looked like the Warrior Tier 20 Titanic Onslaught armor from World of Warcraft's Legion expansion. There was no way to know if this was a normal look for the area, but I didn't much care because I felt like I looked awesome. Satisfied, I glanced at Queenie, who was giving me a very strange look. And when I arched a curious eyebrow at her, she merely flushed and looked away. "Does it look okay?" I asked as I swept an arm over my body. It was strange, because the armor was made of glowing green aura, and while it felt sturdy enough, it was still a bit translucent so my clothes could be seen underneath.
"Yes," Queenie gave me a nod. "It makes me a bit scared, actually, in a good way."
She seemed pleased.
"I am glad you have picked this armor. It will make our enemies flee in terror."
"Ha ha," I said, and rubbed the back of my neck. "Hopefully not too far, because I still need the experience, and I hate chasing down monsters."
"I will chase them down for you, Master. Do not fear."
Queenie's voice was resolute.
"Whoever you wish dead will be made so."
On that cheery note, we made my way forward along the tree-lined path, and as I went to hack through a branch, another thought hit me.
"I'm able to sense aura," I said,
and this time I simply pressed my hand against the branch and concentrated on the feeling.
"But maybe I can do more."
I could feel the wood as well as I ever could have back on Earth, which was expected. Then I pressed forward with my palm and willed my hand to feel the aura moving through the tree. It was the strangest thing I'd ever felt, because as I pushed forward, I felt the tree's branches' aura enter my hand. It didn't hurt or anything. More like it felt foreign. More than that, though, I could feel the particles within my aura begin to attack the tree limb, and I knew that if I willed it to be so, I could dissolve the wood's aura and with it, this section of the tree. I also knew how long it would take. "About 45 minutes, I said aloud, and I would get barely any energy from the aura that remained once it was all said and done. I smirked. I always knew I wasn't meant to be a vegetarian.
"I cannot even imagine such a thing."
Queenie shook her head in disgust.
"Meat tastes too good to never eat it again."
"That's true," I said with a laugh, before I turned my attention back to the branch. This time, I became aware of everything touching the tree's aura, leaves, bugs, dirt, everything. It all hit me at once in one tremendous data download that let me know about the things around me, and more importantly, if they were worth breaking down for aura or patterns. Some things were, mostly the leaves and bugs, while others, like the wood, well, it just wasn't.
"You have learned the sub-skill, auric examination."
I'll be honest, I'd sort of intended to get this one, and a quick examination of it let me know that auric examination was an active sub-skill of auric sense. But unlike Overdrive, which basically just made me hyper-aware, this skill could be targeted on a single person, creature, or curious-looking rock. "Interesting," I said as I moved to my left, toward a copse of thorny bushes that lined the path. Until now, I'd done my best to avoid them for obvious reasons, but now, well, I was curious. What information would I get from examining it? I reached out toward the closest one and focused on the bush in front of me. This time, as my fingertips brushed the top of the closest leaf, all the same data entered my skull. The whole knowing things instantaneously thing was still hard to get used to, even though it had been similar when I had been a god, but I knew that I'd get used to it soon enough. Still, the important part was that I now knew the nutritional value of the bush. Basically, after consuming the plant, I'd be 1% less hungry. 1%. And it would take about an hour to digest, which was far too long. Curiously, I noticed that my herbalism skill had increased a tiny bit by absorbing the information of the two plants. And that made me smile. It seemed that just like in Terra Forma, skills could be increased by gaining knowledge about the subject as well as by practicing them. I wonder if there is a way to reduce the consumption time, I said aloud as I pulled my hand back and turned my attention back toward the path. Perhaps you could just strip the aura off? Queenie suggested, and I nodded. Yeah, I can do that, but it won't help much if we want to eat it, I shrugged. Unless I try cooking it.
Would you like me to gather some so you can try cooking it?
Queenie asked, and I nodded. Yeah, let's gather some as we go and we can try later. It was slow going after that because I wound up using my new examination skill on all the new plants I found, as well as picking some, which definitely helped to increase my herbalism skill. Which was probably why I didn't see the tripwire. I'd been so engrossed on examining everything that when it hit Queenie's shin, she didn't even notice. The fucking wire sure noticed, though. A giant log flew out of the brush and would have slammed into her side if my quick reflexes hadn't saved her. As I leapt for her and tackled her sideways out of the way, I was immediately aware of a problem. The log had reached the apex of its arc and was coming back. Thankfully, I had enough time to get us both out of the way once again, and as the log whooshed behind me, a pair of green-skinned goblins leapt out of the brush and glared at me. Only one was armed with a drum, and the other seemed empty-handed. You guys again? I snarled with a raised eyebrow at them as their eyes swiveled from the log to me and back again.
Let me destroy them for their impertinence, Master, Queenie growled.
And just as I was about to let her do just that because fuck their stupid traps, one of the goblins spoke. What do you mean, us guys? The slender one, covered from head to toe in bright bird feathers of every shape, size, and color, said as he eyed me carefully. I can assure you that you have never faced me. He smacked his chest with one hand. For I am Morleone, the greatest goblin bard in the world. He swung his hand to the left and gestured to his compatriot. And that is Silent Jay. He nodded to the other goblin, who was dressed from head to toe in black. Black. Wore a long trench coat and had a ukulele strapped to his back.
He's a rogue.
He narrowed his eyes at Jay.
Have you seen him before? Perhaps faced him in battle?
Jay looked at me curiously and scratched his chin. Then he shook his head emphatically.
See?
Morleone said as he smacked his drum.
You have never faced us before, because if you had, you'd be dead.
Right. I glanced between them. I'm just saying that I just fought a bunch of hobgoblins, like, just down the path that way.
I gestured back toward the path.
Let me just say, it didn't end well for them.
Well, of course not. Those were hobgoblins.
Morleone banged on his drum.
They are as dumb as they are smelly, and let me just say that, by goblin standards, they have a particularly foul odor.
He nodded once.
Whereas we are goblins who, by goblin standards, are quite better in all ways.
How many types of hobgoblins and goblins are there on this path?
I asked as I stared at the goblin. I wasn't really worried about him, but if I was going to get accosted every couple of minutes, it was going to get old fast.
This particular path leads directly through the territory of no less than 16 hobgoblin and goblin clans, though I say that ours is the best.
Best. Morleone gestured to the left.
After all, the bards in our region sing the most delightful songs and the trees here are particularly... well...
He started smacking his drum and shifting from foot to foot as he launched into a song in a language I couldn't understand. It was catchy, though.
There, Morleone said when he was done. Are you not impressed?
He stamped one foot.
Admit it, you're very impressed.
I mean, the tune was catchy.
I shrugged.
It's a great beat, but I don't know the language.
Neither do I, Master.
Queenie frowned.
Although I can somewhat translate the intent, would you like me to tell you what I think it means?
A song is great even if you cannot understand it!
Morleone exclaimed as he came toward me and clenched a fist.
Did you not feel it in your bones?
No, I offered. But maybe it's just not my genre.
Genre doesn't matter.
Morleone shook his head sadly as he turned to Jay.
What do you think?
Jay seemed to ponder this for a moment before his eyes widened and his face lit up like a Christmas tree. Then he began to gesture frantically. I didn't quite understand it, but Morleone seemed to, because in the end he nodded emphatically.
That is a great idea.
Morleone turned back to me and grinned widely.
Jay says that we must teach you to truly appreciate goblin music.
I don't think that's quite necessary, I said with a frown. I'm just trying to get to town.
And how will you do that if you must traverse the territory of not only goblins, but orcs and trolls as well?
Morleone gazed at me expectantly.
Or, you allow us to accompany you for a small fee, of course, and we will guide you accordingly. Then, by the time we reach your destination, you will have a true appreciation of goblin music that you can feel with your soul.
Did you say small fee?
I asked as I stared at the goblin.
I hated to admit it, but I could use a guide. Even if he were a crazy goblin with a drum.
Because I don't have any money.
I grabbed my shirt and sort of pulled on it.
Just this and some hobgoblin stuff I picked up.
It was a white lie, of course, but then again, these were random goblins. I didn't exactly feel comfortable telling them I had a few kilos of gold in my inventory.
Why didn't you say you were poor?
Morleone exclaimed as he threw his hands into the air with a sigh. Then, instead of being put off, he came over, hopped up beside me, and tried to throw his arm around my shoulder. Only Queenie glared at him so hard that he stopped mid-step and, after a long pause where he took in my army, gestured for me to come closer. I did so, though I knew I'd probably regret it.
See, here's the thing, friend.
He nodded to the trap.
We didn't set that. We merely saw it and knew we were in ogre territory. Can you imagine what an ogre would do to us poor goblins?
He drew his thumb across his throat.
So, we waited for an adventurer to come by who could avoid the trap, figuring that they'd be strong enough to help us get to town so we could make our gig at the Dwarven Priestess, which, as you likely know, is the premier drinking establishment for dwarven royalty, charlatans, and card players.
So, you really have nothing to offer me?
I asked as I stared at the diminutive goblin.
I have much to offer, friend. I think the original deal stands. We will lead you to town.
He nodded to the path.
So you mean to use me until you find someone better?
I asked with a sigh.
When you say it like that, it does indeed sound horrible. So no, do not say it like that.
He held out his hand.
What do you say? We shall guide you and teach you an appreciation for music that will allow you to rival all the gods on high. And in exchange, you allow us to tag along with you, O mighty warrior.
Well, who can say no to an offer like that? I said as I shook the goblin's hand. You have a deal.